It is 6 minutes after 12, and this is Ozarks at Large for Friday, July 19th, 2019, on 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media. Ahead this afternoon, Michael Tilley from Talk Business and Politics reviews the week's news, and Serrano Torres talks to Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda about his new EP and plays music for all of us in the Furman Garner Performance Studio. After we're done with Ozark, stay with 91.3 for Science Friday. This afternoon, 50 years ago, Apollo 11 ferried the first humans to the moon. Now another era of moon exploration is beginning. Join Ira Flato to meet the crew upgrading one of the historic Apollo launch pads for our next shot at a lunar landing. Plus, the book club reconvenes to celebrate Brainy Birds. Hear more today, beginning at 1 on Science Friday, right after Ozarks at Large. The author of the current best-selling book in the country will be in Northwest Arkansas tomorrow. Delia Owens, author of Where the Crawdads Sing, will be at the Bentonville Public Library tomorrow morning at 11. It's free, no registration required. Large audience is expected, so free tickets will be distributed Saturday on a first-come, first-served basis. Patrons have to be present to receive a ticket, and it's one ticket per person, and it must be shown for seating. Doors open at 10:30 tomorrow. Overflow parking for the event at Community Development and Downtown Activity Center. Then tomorrow afternoon, she'll be at the Fayetteville Public Library for a public conversation with me. That begins at 3. It's also free and will also be streamed live through the Fayetteville Public Library live stream page. This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley, who is with Talk Business and Politics. You will be able to find out much more about what we talk about at talkbusiness.net. But first, let's talk about it. Michael, how are you?
I'm well. I'm not going to walk out. I'm not going to walk outside and it's a little hot outside.
It is hot. I guess, and before we talk about this week, I guess you're probably a little too young to remember Neil Armstrong walking on the moon.
Yeah, I was. I did grow up to be a big space program fan. I was one of the first kids to go to the first ever space camp back in 1982.
Really?
So,
wow. Okay, well, I'm glad I asked that question. Now I'm going to ask you a question about Gateway Park, which is scheduled to open sometime in fall. What do we know about Gateway Park?
Well, it's going, for people that are familiar with downtown Fort Smith, it's when you enter. You come off Rogers, and Rogers separates into Rogers and Garrison there with, you know, the big IC church on your right. It's not City National Bank. That tells you how old I am. It's Bancorp South there on your right. But this will be a big new entrance. In the past, it's just been kind of a ugly building, and then there's some trees behind it. It looks somewhat nice, but this is going to be a dedicated park in the shape of a triangle. It will have three statues, Judge Parker, obviously, and then John Carnell and Mother Superior Mary Teresa. Carnell was influential in getting the public school system started, and the Mother Superior was active in bringing health care to the area. It's about a $750,000 project. 646 Downtown is doing a good group behind, you know, the Unexpected Festival, the murals. They're pulling the public-private partnership together. Once the park is up, then they'll turn it over and the city will maintain it.
Well, staying with downtown Fort Smith and 646 Downtown, it looks as if Fort Smith is going to join the Main Street Arkansas program. What will this enable the city to do?
Well, it'll give them resources, and hat tip to Talisha Richardson. She's the executive director of 646. She's been leading this effort for almost 2 years now. When she first learned downtown wasn't part of it, she set about to fixing that. And I think, you know, Main Street helps. They bring in a lot of expertise, not just from Arkansas, but from around the country about how to renovate historic buildings, how to receive grants, they offer small business consulting. It's just a program, another tool. And it's not the be-all, end-all. It's not going to be where, you know, once Fort Smith joins Main Street program, then boom, overnight, everything is, you know, 100% better. That's not the case, but it's just another tool that the city and the downtown businesses can use to, you know, to help continue the momentum that is going going on in downtown Fort Smith.
An update on something you and I talked about last week. The Fort Smith School Board had made some alterations in the policy handbook about publications that originate in the school districts, like newspapers, and said that such publications, quote, do not provide a forum for public expression. What's the latest on this, Michael?
Well, you were being very kind to say that they made some alterations. They essentially stripped students' ability to have any right of expression. Now, I know there's some people out there that says, well, hell, they're students, and they're there to learn. But fortunately, the Constitution of the United States does not suggest that as a student you've given your rights away. So Julie Mayberry, a Republican, no less, from Hensley, Arkansas, was the lead sponsor of a bill that became Act 912 this year. And it says students may exercise their right of expression guaranteed by the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. So we had an opportunity to talk to Representative Mayberry and sent her the note, sent her the language that the Fort Smith School Board adopted, and she called it disturbing and said it clearly violates state law. We also talked to the executive director of the Arkansas Press Association, who essentially said the same thing, that this, nice try, but this violates state law and it's going to have to be fixed. We'll see what the school board does. We got somewhat of a vague response from, it was vague, from the superintendent, who says, well, we've updated the student media policy now, now we'll have to look at it and see if we need to amend it. Well, if you violated state law, I'm thinking at some point you're going to have to amend it, or you're going to invite a lawsuit. So where it goes from here, Kyle, we'll see, but so far, we're the only one that's reported on it, and we're going to stay on top of it.
All right, quickly, the Fort Smith Police Department, some new hires, some new trainees, could be perhaps sooner rather than later, all positions for FSPD are filled?
Yeah, this is quite a story. They've gone not just for a few years, but maybe for decades now with, well under their, they've been 20, 30, 40 officers short. They have a 164 authorized positions, and they have 29 officers now in some phase of either hiring or training. And that would put them at 159 officers, which is, it's pretty close. We're getting there, just five away. So as long as they don't have a lot of turnover, this may be the most completely staffed police department that the city has had in a long time.
Search continues for a full-time police chief, though, right?
Right. Although the consensus, I shouldn't say the consensus there is, everyone I've talked to, and it's a wide variety of people, are hopeful that the interim police chief, Danny Baker, will get the job. He knows the department. He is very keen on continuing that community policing that former Chief Clark began. So it'll be interesting to see if they go with the inside guy.
You can read more about these stories and other stories at talkbusiness.net. That's where Talk Business and Politics lives. Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics. And I bet you'll be observing the 50th anniversary of that first step on the moon tomorrow with a glass of Tang.
Yes, and curled up in a fetal position over an air conditioning fan.
There you go. Thank you, Michael. Have a great weekend.
Support for KUAF comes from Malco Theaters, with locations in Rogers, Springdale, Fort Smith, Van Buren, and Fayetteville, including the new IMAX Theater. Malco Theaters offering a variety of special showings, including the Saturday Metropolitan Opera in HD, rock concerts and music events, special live screenings, and more. Tickets and event schedule available online at malco.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. About a month ago, city, county, and state leaders came together in Fayetteville to cut the ribbon on the Northwest Arkansas Crisis Stabilization Unit. But this week, mental health advocates raised concerns about whether law enforcement has been referring any people to the facility. The Washington County judge called a media conference in response. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek was there, and she has this report.
Washington County Judge Joseph Wood says he wanted to address some of the statements that had been made about the operation of the Northwest Arkansas CSU.
We have had some calls, concerns regarding our activities at the Northwest Arkansas CSU, and so I wanted to make sure we address some of those, in particular some of the misinformation that is out there.
Yesterday's meeting at Wood's offices at the county courthouse also included County Attorney Brian Lester and Ozark Guidance Center President and CEO Laura Tyler, who says the 16-bed facility is being used as intended, although she did not have details on admissions to the unit since it started accepting patients 2.5 weeks ago.
We're available 24/7. We are screening the calls that we receive. We have had a limited number of admissions, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity to come and let people know that we are open and ready to accept clients.
Washington County partnered with Ozark Guidance to provide care to people who are referred to the CSU by local law enforcement. Tyler says the clients can be checked into the facility for up to 72 hours if they've committed a minor offense while experiencing a mental health crisis.
Which is to offer an alternative to individuals who have serious persistent illnesses so that they are not in jail, but rather they can get treatment.
Tyler says they're off to a slow start, but both the Sebastian and Pulaski County CSUs had similar experiences when they both opened last year.
I think any change in the referral process or the care process takes a little time to acclimate to, and so we're seeing this as maybe a little disappointing, but certainly normal.
City and county law enforcement agencies in Washington, Benton, Carroll, and Madison counties can refer clients to the CSU if they meet certain criteria. The county sent a memorandum of understanding to participating agencies, which outlines the responsibilities of all parties involved. Judge Joseph Wood says that originally included a $40 daily fee for each person admitted to the CSU.
Sebastian County has a daily rate as well as Pulaski County has a daily rate. So we came up with a daily rate a little less than Pulaski County's, but we know that there will be some shortfall. Plus, this is all on Washington County. So those neighboring counties don't have buildings, they don't have maintenance, they're just brand. So we had this daily rate to kind of help support that. We don't know what those expenses will be. This is all going to be a guesstimate, and that's what Sebastian and Pulaski County did.
Wood says they'll have a better idea of how much it will cost to operate the facility after it's been open for at least 6 months. In the meantime, he adds, the county will hold off on collecting a daily fee.
We're going to go ahead today and announce that we're going to waive the daily rate of $40 until January, allowing the mayors or the police chief who is concerned about their budget to get their budget worked through.
In a letter to County Attorney Brian Lester, Lincoln's city attorney advised the city not to approve the agreement until they could get more answers about the fee, the budget process, and oversight. Fayetteville City Attorney also sent a letter stating the city needs financial data to justify the fee. And while Kit Williams says that's not a major issue, he also says the city would like to see the county form a regional board to oversee the CSU. Lester says there's already a criminal justice coordinating committee that will be charged with approving any changes to the daily fee in the future.
Judge Wood has set up our criminal justice coordinating board. It consists of the players that are required under the enabling legislation. In addition to that, Judge Wood has also asked the county judges from the other three counties and or their sheriff to sit at that table as well. In addition to that, we have the Fayetteville Chief of Police, the Springdale Chief of Police, and then some county elected officials as well as one member from the community who works and is an advocate in the mental health community.
The legislation Lester is referring to is the state law that established and provided the initial funding for the four CSUs across the state. But he says that money only covers operational costs.
It will not cover all the other maintenance and ancillary costs that are associated. And so, it never will cover that. Even if they up that funding, it will not be used for anything other than operational. The reason for that is this is not a state-owned, state-run facility. This is up to the counties.
That's right.
And so we have to, we turn around and we bear the costs of all those other expenses.
Lester says they'll have to wait and see how much of a shortfall the county experiences.
These fees that are set can only be set by the county, but will be done so with this board. And again, once we have data that shows exactly what it is that's needed, that data will be shared with everyone.
And Lester says while they continue to work out the details of the MOU, all the law enforcement agencies in the catchment area can refer clients to the CSU, something Fayetteville resident and mental health advocate Sarah Moore says she was glad to hear.
Well, I guess I'm quite excited, actually. The fact that we're going to open the doors wide open is what I heard, and they're starting today and going forward, that they're waiving any fee until January 2020 sounds phenomenal, because we have lots of folks that are in mental health crisis in our area.
Moore says the CSU is an important resource that should be used as much as possible, especially because other acute mental health care facilities in the region are almost always full.
At the end of the day, it's just about caring for folks that have no voice, caring for people that often don't have the resources they need available to them, and stepping up when we, in fact, have 16 beds that are available, being able to say, please, you know, come, let's take advantage of these and let's give people the care that we need. I wish we had done that from day one.
Moore says she would like to see the Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee meet regularly and invite the public to their meetings to get more involvement and input from the community. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
In about 45 seconds, Becca Martin Brown from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette gives us ideas for the weekend. And if you're outside this weekend, take care. High temperatures near 100 in the Arkansas River Valley with heat index values of about 110. In Northwest Arkansas this weekend, highs in the mid-90s with heat index values around 100.
That's two great saxophonists, Gary Foster and Mark Turner. And I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz. This week on the program, we'll hear more from these two giants. We'll also hear from Stan Getz, Kenny Werner, Wayne Wallace, and some brand new recordings and some classics. Join me Friday nights and Saturday mornings for Shades of Jazz right here on KUAF.
It's Friday. It's the 19th day of July 2019. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Oh, and I'm living here now until probably the middle of August.
Living here at KUAF?
Yeah.
How come?
Because it's too hot to go outside.
So once you came in,
stay here. Gotcha. This is it.
All right.
If you're brave enough, however, to go outside, perhaps you ought to go when it's getting dark.
Okay, so give me some ideas about playing in the dark.
How about Firefly Fling?
Oh, yes.
That's tomorrow night at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks in Fayetteville. But it's not just things you can see ordinarily in the dark. It's magical things you can see in the dark.
Magical.
Like fire twirling.
Oh, right.
And glow sticks and glowing wings
and some fireflies.
And very much kids of all ages. And the University of Arkansas Department of Entomology is going to be there with some live and preserved insects. And Crystal Bridges and the Amazium and the Ozark Science Center will all have booths. The Jones Center is bringing an obstacle course, which will probably get to be more fun as it gets darker.
Right.
And there's music. Ashton Barbary, who is one of my new favorites mm-hmm. from this summer, and the Firefly Fling Band.
Okay.
And the Odds will all be performing, and they're going to have food trucks, and you can bring picnic dinners, and it'll be great fun. It's at 6 o'clock.
At the BGO.
At the BGO tomorrow night. Tickets are $3 to $11 in advance. $3 kids, 11 adults.
Oh, I see.
5 to 15 at the gate.
All right.
And you can find out more at 750-2620. Or you can go where I consistently believe is the happiest place in the Midwest.
You say that at Silver Dollar City.
I do, because it's Moonlight Madness.
What happens now?
You get to do stuff in the dark.
Oh, okay. Well.
And they have fireworks.
Still?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to talk to a girl named Morgan Duncan, hasn't been there terribly long. She's attractions manager. And she's over what she calls the classic rides or the legacy rides, like the steam train mm-hmm. and the flooded mine mm-hmm. and the American plunge. And like so many people who work there, which is part of the reason I love this theme park, she remembers going there with her parents and going there with her grandparents and riding the steam train. And it's her favorite. And you get to do all these things at night. They're open till 10 p.m. from today through August 4th.
So you can beat the heat a little bit.
Yeah. And after 5, all ages $30.
And if they're open till 10, that gives you 5 hours at $30 per person.
Right, okay. Which is not terrible. So this lasts till August 4th at Silver Dollar City in Branson. And then there's also the Basin Park Music Series tomorrow night. It starts at 5 and lasts till 7. Not really dark, but if you want to go, it's very cool in that sense of the word. Mm-hmm. Arlo McKinley and the Lonesome Sound at Basin Spring Park in Eureka Springs. The Forest Concert Series is tomorrow night at Crystal Bridges.
With a New Orleans piece of flair.
Big Chief, Juan Pardo, and the Golden Comanche Mardi Gras Indians.
Right.
7 o'clock, $12 tickets. On Tuesday, the Sugar Creek Astronomical Society, why do I put words like this in my script, are hosting a star party from 6:30 to 10 at the Metfield Pavilion in Bella Vista. It's free. It's sponsored by the library up there. You can go see the stars with some experts.
Sure.
And then on Thursday, it's the Gully Park Concert Series at 7 with Mary Heather and the Sinners.
We have just given you so many reasons to sleep in so you can be wide awake for nighttime activities.
I like the sleep-in part. I think I'll go try that.
All right. Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Support for KUAF comes from Westwood Gardens, featuring locally grown plants offering a variety of annuals, perennials, herbs, roses, trees, and shrubs selected to perform well in Arkansas's summer heat. More information available at westwoodgardens.com. The 2019 Northwest Arkansas Naturals baseball season continues at Arves Ballpark in Springdale. Single and group tickets, as well as game stats and more, available online at nwanaturals.com.
This is a Friday edition of Ozarks at Large. A troop of intrepid biologists is searching remnant and restored Arkansas tall grass prairies for creatures at risk. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich followed the team, wading through acres of grasses and flowering plants on Chesney Prairie, east of Siloam Springs.
Storm clouds gather overhead as UA Wilson Lab Biology PhD candidates Chelsea Cross and Ethan Royal, along with Gabriel Yurden, a visiting student from Tufts University, search for turtles this morning on Chesney Prairie. The preserve is one of only a few tall grass prairies left on the Arkansas Ozarks, containing rare flora and fauna. Yurden carries what looks to be a small TV antenna affixed with a radio receiver to locate turtles affixed with transmitters, Chelsea Cross says.
And the beeps will get louder as we get closer, so that's how we know we're actually on the right track.
They crisscross the midsection of the 82-acre prairie, most of it virgin, filled with 100 different plant species, such as big blue stem, rattlesnake master, yellow prairie sunflowers, blackberry vine, passion flower, and blazing star, until Ethan Royal spots a turtle and picks it up.
So this is an ornate box turtle. This is the other species we have out here. And he's got a radio transmitter on him that allows us to track him, so that's what's sending out the signal. And then he also has an eye button temperature logger in there, so we know what temperatures he's experiencing out in the field. It'll log a temperature every 30 minutes. And then in a week or so, we'll pull this eye button off and be able to download all that data and know kind of what temperatures he's been experiencing over the last couple weeks.
The juvenile green and yellow turtle cranes its neck and claws the air as Royal talks, turning it over in his hand. Ornate box turtles, which thrive only on prairie habitat, are listed as species of greatest conservation need by state wildlife agents. Chesney Prairie is also super birdy, with migrant savannah and vesper sparrows, loggerhead shrike, various blackbirds, hawks, owls, and falcons, all of which relish the habitat. Chelsea Cross.
Arkansas used to have a bunch of tall grass prairie here in this northwest region because we were a transition zone between oak hickory forest and the tall grass prairie. And so now in Arkansas, we probably have less than 1% of prairies remaining. And a lot of the species that are actually on these prairies or associated with these prairies are species of greatest conservation concern in the state. And we wanted for this project to figure out where what species were inhabiting these prairie remnants, and get that information back to Arkansas Game and Fish Commission so that they can use it for assessing the status of each species and have some kind of knowledge of where those species occur.
This team is on mission using various capture methods to document amphibians and reptiles.
One was visual encounter surveys, which is just the walking around, searching through the grass and hopefully stumbling upon a snake or a lizard or any of one of those species. Sometimes you can't see very well, and so you just kind of blindly reach for it, and sometimes they get through your fingers, but other times you get lucky and you actually catch them, so that's always good.
Another method is laying down large pieces of plywood right on top of the prairie.
Called cover boards, plywood boards out, usually a few months before we started the study. So we put these boards out in January and then started surveys in April. And that allows the boards to age for reptiles and amphibians to find them.
She sets out through a shoulder-high stand of prairie plants to a cover board.
Proper board etiquette is you want to lift the board towards you so that way you have some kind of protection in case there's something under there that could be could cause you injury. And you just lift it up. It's been a while since you lift up. And there's nothing under here, but you see that you got some burrows right there. Those are really favored by snakes. They'll hang out. And we also have a mammal nest. That's what this straw is right here, this bundle of straw. And so sometimes, especially in early spring, we'll come up on a board, flip it, and there will be a king snake, like a prairie king snake, just in that mound, and you know he's just waiting for the little mouse to come back.
Cross replaces the cover board and heads towards a forest-shaded ephemeral stream site to give a litany of discovery.
So of our snakes, we found speckled king snakes, prairie king snakes, racers, rat snakes, garter snakes, ribbon snakes. Those are some of the most common species here in Northwest Arkansas and in prairies. And then we've also found ornate box turtles and three-toed box turtles. In terms of amphibians, we've found eastern narrowmouth toads, American toads, leopard frogs, bullfrogs, gray tree frogs, and the species that's near and dear to my heart, the crawfish frog.
A $42,000 state wildlife grant from the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, plus matching UA funds, is supporting this endeavor. Ethan Royal says he signed on this summer.
Fieldwork is done, so we've gathered all of our data. We've finished all of our reptile and amphibian surveys. So now we'll just be doing some statistical analysis using occupancy modeling, and that allows you to project the probability that a species occurs at a given site. And the probability that you would detect a species given that it occurs at that site.
The prairie and grassland research sites span Benton, Boone, Franklin, Washington, Sebastian, and Carroll counties. Some are pristine, others highly degraded. More than 1,500 individual animals representing 55 species, from slender glass lizards to crawfish frogs, have been logged. The first study of its kind on Arkansas tall grass prairie habitat. And Ethan Royal's most favorite part?
Probably the ticks, maybe the chiggers. I really like the fire ants at Fort Chaffee also.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, Lee Wood, who produces and hosts the KUAF Final Hour. You can hear it Saturday evening at 5 on 91.3, Sunday evening at 5 on KUAF 3. Lee, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a while since we've talked about the Final Hour.
It's true. And this week we're doing something completely different.
So to speak.
I know I've been saying that. No, it's great. I'm really excited. My co-host this week, his name is Ty Lee, and he brought a stack of records that are all studio albums or recordings of live performances or recordings of a television show, and they were all by Monty Python.
The comedy troupe that formed in the late 60s.
Legendary.
And, you know, John Cleese and
Michael
all those
Palin.
Guys. Michael Palin.
Yeah, so it's great. So we're listening to sketches and songs, and the way that the albums work is that they run into one another. So we sort of listen to chunks at a time. And there's some very popular things in there that might be familiar. And then there's some ones I've never heard before. And we just laughed. I mean, we just listened to these and laughed like teenagers. It was great.
Always look on the bright side of life?
Unfortunately, no. There's no music from the movies.
Okay.
In this. I know.
All right.
We're giving you things you've never heard
absolutely.
Before.
Absolutely. Right.
And it's great because obviously they're a really very smart satirical group, absurdist comedy, mm-hmm. Which is kind of my favorite because on the surface it seems like it might be kind of dumb or juvenile, but really has layers and it's really quite intelligent when you get into it. And so the packaging of the records themselves are jokes.
Yeah.
Right. So one looks like a Beethoven album that somebody just with a marker scratched out and wrote another Monty Python record. And we can't tell if there's a pen writing that says Flying Circus, if someone actually wrote it or if it's part of the album. Like we've been doing research and we can't really tell. And this is another thing that came up that was really neat that he unfortunately didn't have this album to play, but this just the idea of this makes me so happy that there's a record that they made called Matching Tie and Handkerchief, and the box looks like you would have a tie and handkerchief.
Right.
And the record, you know, you have grooves in a record, and what they did was build two concentric mm-hmm. grooves. So if you put the needle at the beginning of the record, you get one version. If you put it in a different place, you get a totally different thing. And it just caused mass confusion, apparently.
Which they, of course, loved.
That's the outcome. That's what they're looking for. Yeah.
Monty Python on the KUAF Vinyl Hour, Saturday at 5 on 91.3, Sunday at 5 on KUAF3. Thank you, Lee.
Thanks, Kyle.
And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten.
Okay, that's a song that will not be heard on tomorrow's KUAF Vinyl Hour, but plenty of other Monty Python will be included. This is Ozarks at Large. Serrano Torres is a Northwest Arkansas-based cellist you may have seen performing around the region either alone or with groups like Rosenbridge. He's been working on a solo project, and earlier this summer he released his first EP called Embrace. Serrano Torres recently came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio to speak with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda about the new album and to play a few songs from it, including this one.
Hey guys, this is Serrano Torres, and this is my original song called Origin. Thank you.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and I am joined now in the studio by Serrano Torres. Welcome back.
Thank you.
People probably know you from your work with Rosenbridge, but you're here today because you have a brand new solo album.
Yes.
Called Embrace.
Yes, I do.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Been in the works for a while?
Yeah, I think so. It's definitely, I think some of these songs, like, I've kind of like messed with the ideas ever since I got the loop pedal back in 2017 when I first started my solo project. And just slowly developed over time, you know? And so it's kind of been like a long process to get here. Because I'd never really written original music throughout my life, you know, starting classically and then doing the band circuit, more improv, but never actually like, okay, I gotta try to get something out of the soul besides playing other people's music. So, but yeah, it's been a fun process though.
So it's called Embrace. There's also a title track by the same name.
Yes. Yes, there is.
You're telling me before we started recording that the song sort of prompted this whole project.
Yep. Yeah. So there's one song on this album. It's called Embrace. And I kind of like envision that and feel it being the heart of the whole album because it was at a time when I came back from this trip. And you ever like do something really great and amazing and then you just like take a break and then not sure what next steps to take. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I felt after I released my single Everywhere, and it was such a big hype, and we went to Iceland, and then I took this long month trip and came back and I was like, what do I do now? You know?
And you shot a video.
And yeah, I shot a video, all that stuff. It was like amazing. It was great. It was a great way to kickstart my solo project.
But you didn't know that's what you were doing.
No, I had no idea. I never meant to do a solo project. My wife was actually supposed to be singing with me in a band that we were going to do together. Uh-huh. And then last minute, she was like, nah, it's not for me. So I was like, okay. So I just, you know, I was really scared. But yeah, I was in this funk, to go back to the Embrace. I was like in this funk when I got back from this trip, and I feel like I couldn't write, and I was just kind of plucking around my cello, and this really simple tune came to mind, and I started plucking, and I was like, nah, it's too simple. People won't like it. It's not good enough. And then part of me was like, no, stop it. Actually, keep going with this. Keep it simple. Keep it beautiful, and just roll with it, see where it goes, because it was what was coming to me at the time. So I feel like the song was almost speaking to me, telling me, embrace yourself, embrace where you are right now, and embrace this melody, embrace this idea that came to you, and run with it, because you can add more to it and make it something really beautiful once you orchestrate it together. So that song in itself kind of orchestrated the whole concept of the EP. There's 8 tracks on here with the previously released Everywhere that I released last year. Uh-huh. But it's a whole process from the beginning to the end. It starts with Origin, and Origin is about going on an adventure for a specific goal. And then once you get there to that destination or that goal, you realize that's not what you wanted. So you go back, but you go back not knowing what you really want. So that's like the origin. It's like the beginnings of you fully embracing yourself. And then the end, after you've gone through the whole EP, you would have emerged. The last song is called Emergence. And if you can hear it, is I kind of have this very almost hypnotic ostinato part that keeps repeating over and over again with these added layers that keep adding each section. And at the end of that song, you kind of feel like you're sort of emerging or coming out of a shell or out of a cocoon like a butterfly. And then you're fully emerging with fully embracing yourself. So that's the whole concept of the album. And I think it's as much for me, being where I am right now as classically trained musician and then putting my first album out there. It's like, it's exciting, very scary, not sure where I fit. There's lots of different genres of music within here. But also for the people, that's a reminder to just like embrace yourself, you know, embrace all of you, who you are and where you are right now in life. And know that moment, this moment does not define you. So you can simply wake up and choose to be a certain way and choose to have that perspective and go about life. So
people know you best for playing the cello. If they heard yes. you today, they heard lots of other sounds. So we should explain that you have this yes. backing track.
Yes.
That you were playing through a speaker. But it's still all you.
It's still all me. It is all me. You can definitely hear the cello parts in there. I recorded it myself in my house. But yeah, I've actually been using this app called BandLab. It's a digital audio workspace. Hmm. It's free. Mm-hmm. Everyone can download it.
Okay.
And no, I'm not sponsored by them or anything. But I just think it's a great tool for musicians that are trying to get their music out there and don't have quite the resources to spend like a very, very good studio, high end. Thousands and thousands of dollars. It was all free. And yeah, so I've been kind of messing with this. So all the production, the mixing, and the recording was done by me at my house. I have this DPA mic that I recorded with. And yeah, all the cello stuff in there and production was all me. Except everywhere, I must say. That was done by, it was a co-written by me and Mike Bailey last year.
How did you decide to add so many layers of music, especially when this is a solo project and it's literally a solo project? It's just...
Yeah, it's just
you.
Me.
And it's such a big sound, and there's so much happening and so much going on. How did you, did it stem from that original thought process that you had that, oh, this is too simple, this is too basic, and then you just sort of took it to another level?
Yeah, I know, yeah, maybe that's what happened. But I think it's partly that, and also partly me just being a kid. With the music, I'm just like, ooh, what else can I add to it? Uh-huh. And just want to see what I could orchestrate. But I think my vision, though, ultimately is like thinking bigger. I don't think I see myself being a solo artist for the rest of my life. I think it's just a beginning for me, and I don't know. I maybe one day I'll have like a band or maybe a DJ next to me that can do some of these sound manipulations with me on real time, and it'll be more of like a live experience kind of thing. But or maybe you know maybe even a band, that'll be really cool one day. But yeah, I see. Even though I'm a solo artist, I really see myself on like a festival, like an electronic festival sort of tier in that world. I at least that's really the world I want to go to. And maybe right now with this current album, it's more of a maybe a sunrise or a sunset kind of album. You know, it can pick you up or take you back down. Even though there's some intense moments in there that are almost like dubstep-y kind of. But yeah, I think the reason for that is just because I see my vision to be bigger in the future, and I wanna hopefully one day just be with more added instruments and in a bigger stage in front of a lot of people, and the festival will be awesome. That's my goal.
Is there an artist doing kind of what you're in trying to do, or something that inspires you to be doing what you're doing? Because you're talking about this other thing that maybe you haven't quite gotten to yet.
Yeah.
Is there an artist that you're like you have in mind when you're envisioning this future for yourself?
No, actually, mm-hmm. No. There's some cello artists that I admire because of, mm-hmm. of where they've hit in the world musically. I mean, there's like Tina Guo right now. She's on fire. She's working with Hans Zimmer, and doing things for movies, but not in the festival circuit. That I'm trying to get to. I've heard some other cello players from other people, but they're more local or regional, nothing national, nothing big I can pinpoint in that circuit. So maybe I'll be the first one.
You're blazing a trail.
I hope so. I was always told to like just kind of in life, you kind of have to create your own path and pave it and just follow it And that's like the best way for you to live a happy and successful life if you're if that's what your passion is about. So yeah, I think I'm trailblazing for sure. I can't think of any other cellist.
Yeah.
Or I mean there's projects that have cello players
sure,
in there,
but not
like a
quite.
Solo mm-hmm. cellist. And I'm really like electronic music.
Mm-hmm.
Really like EDM. So I think adding a DJ with me might be the first thing I do once I do find the right person to manipulate these sounds as I'm playing live and then make it more of an immersive experience, and maybe we'll go from there. But yeah. Yeah, I'm excited.
So the album is out now, both digitally and in a
yes.
physical form, so people can get that. And you're taking a little bit of vacation, so no shows right this second. But in September 5th, for First Thursday in Fayetteville, you'll be participating in that. Can you tell me a little bit about that project? It
yes.
sounds also multi-layered and multifaceted.
It will be. I'm so happy to be working with Dakari from Experience Fayetteville. We met up, and we're going to be doing a very full immersive performance where we're going to be adding the neon light art from Brian Bailey. He's been a big support for me, an amazing friend and just amazing artist. Just the way he infuses the neon, it just really, really adds so much to my music. And like, I love pairing myself with him. I've done two events with him so far. I shot a music video and my EP release party at Uptown Fayetteville Apartments. With his cooperation and collaboration, now we're doing a third one. I'm super excited about this one because we'll be adding also Al Nix, which is a local dancer, and also he's talented. He sings as well and does a lot of things. But so it'll be a full immersive experience where it's almost like you're going to a big show. You know, I'm going all in. We're gonna have the art immersing itself with my music and dancing going at the same time. So you'll be able to walk through it as I'm playing as well. We're going to make sure that you can walk through it. And I don't want to be on the stage where you can't touch me. I'm just playing. No, you can literally walk right next to me, experience the art, experience the music from different angles.
Aww.
So it'll be a very, I can't say too much more about it, but yeah, that's the core of what we're going to try to do, at least with my performance.
Thank you so much for coming in today. Pleasure as always. Best
yeah.
of luck.
Thanks for having me. This is amazing. Thank you.
Cella Serrano-Torres speaking with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda at the Carver Center for Public Radio. More information about his work available at serranotorres.com. His new EP, Embrace, available now. And during his recent visit to our studio, he also played the title track from the album.
Thank you.
And you can hear music from the Furman Garner Performance Studio on most Friday editions of Ozarks at Large.
I'm Antonia Cerejido, in for Maria Hinojosa, this week on Latino USA, a story about legacy and identity in northern New Mexico.
You know, it gets me so mad because it's so stupid. You know, it's like the Arabs and the Jews fighting. Yes, it's stupid. These are family feuds that the government should not have gotten involved in.
That's this week on Latino USA.
Latino USA, tomorrow afternoon at 3 on 91.3 KUAF. Contributors to Ozarks at Large today included Antoinette Grajeda, Susanna Sitek, Jacqueline Froelich, Timothy Dennis mastered our show from inside the Harold and Blanche Cox News Studio. Our Friday thanks to Michael Tilley from Talk Business and Politics. You can learn more about what we talked about at talkbusiness.net. Plus, Becca Martin-Brown from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. And thanks to Lee Wood for giving us a preview of tomorrow's KUAF Vinyl Hour at 5 p.m. on 91.3, Sunday evening at 5 on KUAF3. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF 91.3, a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Ozark. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks for spending part of your Friday with us. We will be back Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for the latest weekend Ozarks at Large. Then we will begin another new week of daily shows Monday at noon. If you ever miss us, you can go to ozarksatlarge.com. Full shows plus past individual stories and interviews available there. If you want to take us with you, if you're out of the area, you can subscribe to our podcast. It's free, found at places like Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. Thanks so much for your support. Talk to you Sunday morning.